Elko. Tonight's program is designed to create a genuine dialogue between our elders and youth to experience each other's stories of how it is and was to be the same age.
Hello, my name is Carol Hill. My maiden name was Shear. I was born in the Cass Lake Indian Reservation way back, and but I'm a White Earth member. Where are you from?
I'm Trina Fast Horse. I'm from and enrolled in Mille Lacs, and I was born and grew up in St. Paul.
How old were you when you moved to St. Paul?
I was born here.
Oh, you were born here. I'm sorry. I moved to from Cass Lake when I was 3 years old, and the way it came about was my father worked on this in the CC camp, and they just seemed to be not getting anywhere. He didn't like what was going on, and so he said to my mother one day, "Tina, I'm going to go to Minneapolis, and I'm going to get myself a job and a place for us to live, and I'll come back and pick you up." And he didn't have a car, so he went on the train. He came back. He came back, picked us up. We moved whatever we could on the train, and then that's how we got here and stayed here for many years.
What was a CC camp?
The CC camp is called, means the Conservation Corps, that brought about jobs for people that needed jobs. And my dad worked in the forestry area.
What are some of your earliest childhood memories?
Well, one of them is after we moved to Minneapolis, we moved to a nice neighborhood, and the neighbors called us wild Indians. And my parents didn't let them get to them. They just continued what they were doing, and finally we became friends, but it was kind of down for us at first.
Would you still, in your life now, would you still want to live on the reservation, or would you still want to live in the cities?
Well, actually, I'm thinking about moving to the reservation up on White Earth. I am thinking about that, selling my home and moving to the res.
Because you miss home, or?
Because I don't like the things that's going on in the city. And I just think there are so many things, high taxes, so many things that is unaffordable to me.
Okay.
And what about you? What are your earliest memories of growing up?
I would say when I first started dancing and started school in kindergarten, and I got into dancing right away. And I would say my first childhood memory was when I was in a ambassador contest for my school, and it was my very first contest I did. And me being only in kindergarten, you know, I was kind of nervous, of course, because you did the contest in front of the whole school. You were required to say a speech, do a dance performance, and then maybe a few days after, they would announce over the intercom over the whole school who the winners were. And when I first did that contest, they announced the winners, and they had said that I won my very first contest. And ever since then, I knew that I didn't want to give up dancing. Dancing has always been in my life, and I couldn't see my life without it.
Wow, that's amazing. What kind of dance are you talking about?
I did jingle. That was just to get the timing down and just to, get a little bit more familiar with dancing. And once I started getting better at it, I moved into Fancy Shawl. And I stayed at Fancy Shawl for a few years. And I just recently went back. Now I dance jingle and fancy.
That's great. Well, I'm a jingle dress dancer too.
Yeah, where I come from, it's home of the jingle dress dancers. So I go back home every year for their powwow, and they honor the jingle dress dancers. And right now I go to traditional and contest powwows dance both styles, and I used to teach dance classes right at the Indian Center for youth. It was free classes and just a little dance instructor to show them, any kids who wanted to learn how to dance, I would teach them, and anything I can do to help our Native American youth, I'm always there trying to help.
That is wonderful. So. Wow. Any hardships that you've had in growing up?
I would say, I lived a pretty normal, happy, life. My family did everything they could to help support me and made sure that I, had everything I needed and that I was healthy and, I was, a happy kid. And but when I was 14 years old, I had lost my father. So I think that would have been that was a downfall of my life. And it affected me in a lot of ways. I kind of lost who I was, but I was a little confused on what I wanted to do in my life at that point. And then once I started going around to different friends and knowing who the real friends are and knowing the difference between good and bad and stuff like that, it took me a long time. And now I finally realize, now that I'm 17, you gotta make your own decisions. And you can't blame your decisions on anyone else but yourself, because in the end, you're the one who makes them.
I like that. I like that.
I learned the hard way, and I, took the easy way out, to take the hard way out. I would just say, if you don't know something, you'd have to learn for yourself and go through that.
Did you speak Ojibwe in growing up?
I went to a native school. Elementary school, middle school, and high school, kind of. When I was in fourth grade, I competed in my first Quiz Bowl, it was called. I traveled up to Fond du Lac, and we were the first elementary school they allowed into the competition. And we competed against high schools all around Minnesota. The first time we went, there was 27 high school teams, and we were the only elementary, and we took 7th place.
Really?
It was me and another girl on my team.
What did you excel in?
I spoke Ojibwe. The questions they would ask, it would just be, little words or phrases and spelling. And once I started doing that, I quit going when I was in 10th grade, because once I started in high school, I was already in advanced Ojibwe, and I couldn't take it anymore because pretty much knew everything that they taught there.
Anindi Wenjibayan.
Nimanoa, yeah.
I asked you, where are you from? Mississauga.
Mississauga, Ingnan Dunjiba. So you just asked me a question in Ojibwe. Have you spoken Ojibwe all of your life?
No, I haven't spoken it all my life. My husband was an original speaker and was sent to government school. Lost his language in three years, and as time went on, he understood the language, but he couldn't speak it. He was afraid to speak it. So after when we were married, I decided that I wanted to go to school to learn Ojibwe at the University of Minnesota, and it helped both of us, me speaking it and him back, and before he passed away, he could speak it really well again.
When have you ever been the most satisfied in your life?
Well, I do know I was pretty satisfied when I was young. I mean, we were so free. We were able to do whatever we wanted to do. Of course, we had chores to do and everything, had to do that, but then we could go out and do what we wanted to do. And I concentrated on sports. I loved sports. And in fact, one of my gym teachers said I was the best female baseball player she had ever seen. And if they had Olympics at that time, it was really a time that during that time, it was a time of that we could develop our talents. At school, I was very shy. After school, I was out. Just wide open.
I used to do sports too.
Did you?
I used to play volleyball. I was captain for a couple years. Now my niece plays volleyball, so I kind of help her out when the season comes out. When you were my age, did you ever attend any powwows?
I did not attend any powwows until I was in my 20s. 23, maybe 23 years old. And my uncle, my special uncle David, introduced me to the powwows, and I got so interested. I think you might know this person's name, George Abbott. He was from the Mille Lacs Reservation, and he guided us. We traveled all over, and it was so enjoyable, more and more of it. So I didn't, not until I was in my 20s did I.
Okay.
How about you? You started pretty young.
There's like videos around my house of me dancing when I was just, I can't even remember if the videos weren't there, I wouldn't remember it. My mom and my dad used to say I used to dance like ever since I could walk, and ever since then I never really stopped. I dance in contests, and I've been royalty 7 times.
Wow.
I am currently royalty for Mille Lacs. I'm senior princess. This is my final title I'll be able to hold, so.
Wow, I'm so proud of you.
Yeah, so I've accomplished a lot in my dancing life. I have a job I work at. It's called the Ainda Young Center in St. Paul. I'm a peer educator for the Nini Janisug program.
What does
Nini Janisug program means? Like you're helping our children, and we're, me and my boss, we start groups. He teaches the boys how to sing on the drum. I teach the girls how to back up sing. I teach the girls how to dance. We take them to ceremonies. We take them to powwows. Last January, we actually had a free trip to Florida to dance.
Wow.
Yeah. We perform at state fairs. We do a lot of gigs, and we sing a lot of plays. If we're not dancing at a place, we're singing. So it's...
Love it.
So I really like my job right now, and it just gives me a lot of opportunities to see the world. And
you made me think of what I do. I enjoy it so much. I do Ojibwe hymn singing. And wow, it just is so enjoyable. We do it so that we can sing at people's funerals, but we haven't sang at too many funerals yet. And also in that hymn singing, there is a man, his last name is Oak Grove, John Oak Grove. He teaches the youngsters how to drum and sing and dance. I think it's so neat. So neat, I love it. So I don't like to miss that.
We actually did a couple of performances with John and his sons.
Oh, you yeah. did? At the state fair, too?
Yeah, they do a dance performance there, the Little Thunderbirds, then it's normally Larry Ozzy and the Native Pride Dancers, and then it's us, the Ainda Young crew, whatever you want to call it.
How many brothers and sisters do you have?
I have 4 brothers. And I have 1 sister, and I am the baby. I get 4 protective brothers, big protective brothers. My sister's only, she's kind of like my best friend. We talk about a lot, and they all have their own kids and families. I have a brother who lives in Red Lake, a brother who lives in Bemidji, and the other 2 live in here in St. Paul, and just kind of hard to see them if they're far away, but we managed to stay in touch, and
that's good.
Yeah. How about you? How many brothers and sisters do you have?
All together, there were 8 of us. Now left, there is only 4 of us. So some of them have passed. I do keep in contact with them all, the rest of the family members.
That's good.
Yeah. We do things together. Actually, I just took a trip with my brother out west for a week, and his wife, and very enjoyable.
What are some fun activities or any hobbies you do on your free time?
Like I said before, I love to do, you know, Ojibwe singing, hymn singing, and then powwows. I'm in the choir at my church. I sing there also. I used to volunteer quite a bit, but I haven't lately.
Where did you volunteer at?
Minneapolis Indian Center.
Okay.
I help serve lunches for the elders.
it's kind of similar to what I used to do. When I was younger, I had to do community service hours for a royalty contest that I was doing. And I was like, I don't know, maybe 9, 10 years old. I went to a Native American Elders Lodge in St. Paul, and I used to serve them lunch. I started getting more comfortable with them. I started getting to knowing them personally. And then I came to find out that I had relatives there.
Oh.
So it just made me want to go back even more and more and, you know, get to know them. And I even used to dance for them after lunch. I used to bring my regalia, bring over some powwow music, and just dance. And they would always enjoy that. And I used to do that for volunteer work. And even when I didn't need any community service, I still went over there. And it's really good to keep in touch with elders and hear their stories and knowing about the old traditional ways and how much that's changed in today's.
You made me think of about approximately 5 years ago, I retired from I was working at the Minneapolis Institute of Arts. It was one of the most enjoyable jobs I ever had. Art, I love art. That's another thing I like is art. But one of the things that I thought was really, we had a beautiful American Indian art. Always there's an excellent American Indian art at the Minneapolis Institute of Arts. But who are the people that came to see it? Was mostly people from out of the country. And I thought that was sad. I thought it was sad because there was some excellent work. It showed how the talents of the people. Do you date?
I actually have a boyfriend right now. He is in the National Guard. We've been together for about 9 months now.
Oh, where did you meet him?
We went to high school together. He was a senior and I was a freshman, and he didn't know I existed, and it was just kind of a little crush, and everyone knew I liked him, and he was a big popular guy. And
is he native?
Yes, he is native. He is from Red Lake.
Agamiskuwagami wisagi iganin.
Yeah. He is in the Army. While we were together, I got him into beadwork.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so he's, like, when he comes over for dinner or whatever, he normally beads. And I actually started a project for my new regalia, and I was beading a new piece. He wanted to learn, and I taught him how, and I kind of just pushed the project over to him, and he kind of took over on it, so he did that for me. He's getting into the powwow world now that I am. He does honor guard.
Oh, and, nice.
Yeah, so it's good to see him out there getting involved, and he actually likes it too, so I like to see him do that. And
I was into beading a lot too. I haven't done it lately, but I've made a necklace for every one of my children, lots of earrings. Yeah, just a lot of beadwork that I have done. I don't know what happened to it all though.
You gave it all away. Yeah. During your childhood, do you think, was there anyone who you looked up to specifically, whether it was in your family or if they were famous or any role models you had?
Well, I think my most important person that I looked up to when I was young was my grandpa. He was so neat. I even remember this. I was young, maybe 2 years old, and I seen my mother came home with a new baby, and she was nursing, and I said, oh, can I have some? And she pulled away and said no, and I started crying. My grandpa came along, come on, my girl, I'll help you, I'll get you some. And she got me a bottle and fed me. And after that, I was kind of like his favorite he was always looking out for me and taking us different places to enjoy life. And grandpa's, and actually, believe it or not, that is the reason I wanted to learn Ojibwe, was because I wanted to, when I leave this life, I want to be able to speak it to him up there.
That's a good goal, and I do believe it.
How about you?
I would say my mom. I've seen my mom go through a lot during my life when I was young. When I'm older now, she's worked hard all her life. She never really gave up. Giving up isn't really in my family. You either work hard for what you want or go without.
Well, just looking at you and who you are, I can see she did a wonderful job. A wonderful job. What are your favorite subjects in school?
When I was in high school, I would say it would be any Native American class. We had, well, of course, we had Ojibwe. There was also Lakota classes offered there. Indian art, where you did beading, crafting, drawing, anything like that. At American Indian history, American Indian literature, pretty much anything with that involved, like Native American history or anything like that. I was always so eager and curious to learn about, if not my ancestors, other people's ancestors. Not only just where I'm from, other places, you know, because I'm both Ojibwe and Lakota, so I was kind of opened up to all the different tribes and was always curious to know about their beliefs and their traditions and stuff like that. And I learned that not all of them are similar. I was just really interested in a lot of that.
Wow, I wish I had some of those classes when I was young. I didn't have anything like that at all. I do remember one time in elementary school when they had talked a little bit about Native Americans, but that was quickly over. So that was wonderful that you were able to have that. What are you taking in school now and in college?
Right now I'm taking chemistry, history. Wow. I have a couple other college classes, reading and then a success class. Our semester is about to close out here in a couple weeks, so I don't know what my schedule will look like next term, but that's what I'm taking as of right now. I actually had a little conversation with my history teacher. We were learning about a segment about the Civil War, and he wanted us to do our final about African Americans and their slavery and stuff like that, and a majority in my class were African Americans. In my college, I'm like the only one, the only Native American in there in my classes and stuff. There's not that much there. And I talked to my teacher and I asked him if I could do something a little off topic, but it would still be about a war or a battle or anything else, but it would still involve a history. I asked him if I could do something about Native Americans. I said it wouldn't be, you know, exactly related to what we were learning at that point, and it wouldn't be important. I mean, it's important to me, but I would still want to involve and keep my Native Americans on topic. And, you know, I personally think that every history class should talk about Native Americans. There should be something about Native Americans because this is our land.
That's right, right. I'm so proud of you for speaking up. And what did your teacher say?
I got it. It was a little debate and a little battle, but, you know, I was respectful, and I told him, I said, you know, they're talking about slavery. You know, why can't I talk about something that, you know, relates to me? Why can't I talk about my kind of people, you know? And he kind of took part on my side and was just like, yeah, he goes, and I also had an extension on it. I got what I wanted, and wow. I'm doing a paper about Native Americans. I don't know what yet, but.
That is great.
Yeah.
Wow. I do have a daughter that's in school at UCLA, and her major has been, she's getting her master's this year. Her major is Native American Studies. She wants to become an American Indian lawyer. And the things that she is learning, the stories I hear her, you know, from all the history and everything, are unbelievable. Oh my gosh, I just can't believe, like, for example, one of the things she pointed out to me is, well, of course, you know that Native Americans were not allowed to drink for a number of years.
Mm-hmm.
But what I didn't know was that if people were drinking around and you happened to be sitting in that area, you could get arrested too and put in jail for up to 2 years just because you were around them.
Wow.
I could not believe that. She had information that told that, and so many other things she's told me about. That's
actually what I wanted to become. When I was growing up, I always wanted to be like a Native lawyer. But now I kind of moved on and seen what else is out there. Now I want to become a Native counselor. I want to help youth who are maybe troubled are a little confused on what they want to do in life. Right now, there's a lot of suicides going around on the reservations, not only in Minnesota, but around the world. Just with seeing everything that's going on and knowing that kids at such a young age are thinking about things like that in their life just makes me want to help them, let them know that they're not alone, let them know that they can get help and that I'm there to help them. I've always wanted to help my kind of people, and
that is really wonderful, very wonderful. My husband was a social worker. Is that the area you were thinking of getting into?
Kind of, sort of. I did research on counselors, and there's only one registered Native American counselor in the state of Minnesota.
Wow.
So.
Oh, yes. One of the other things I want to mention is that when my daughter got her BS degree in Grand Forks, Minnesota,
mm-hmm.
and she told them that she wanted to become a Native American lawyer, that's what she's going to be working for, they said, oh my gosh, don't let them know you're going to be there. They're going to do all they can to stop you. I could not believe that. Don't share that you want to become a Native American lawyer. Just go along the line and keep going. And I thought that was, I couldn't believe it. What do you look up to in your family and why?
Probably their dedication to their kids. Like I said, talking about before, my family doesn't really give up. They always give what they have, and at times they even go without and push their kids to where they need to be and only want to do it because they want to see them succeed in life. So, and without your family, it would be very hard to do it on your own. You gotta have a support system and all of that. And at the time, you may not like it because they'll push you and push you and push you. But in the end, it'll be worth it.
Yes. You make me think about my parents that, well, I felt that I had very intelligent brothers and sisters. And one of them was considered a genius while he was in elementary school. And they wanted to put him up to high school, from elementary to high school. My mother said, absolutely not. But anyway, that's what they said, he was a genius. And I felt all my brothers and sisters were smart except me. I didn't have to have any thought of going to school further after high school. All of my siblings got at least a BS, master's, and also law degree, one of them. And what actually changed my mind about going to college was what I told you about before. I wanted to learn Ojibwe, and I knew they were teaching it at the college. And I did well in school. They even asked me to be a assistant, a teacher assistant.
Wow.
While I was there, yeah.
Surprised yourself with that.
Yes.
It's a good feeling when you don't think you can do something, and then you actually not only surprise others, but you surprise yourself.
Yes, that's for sure. What would you like to know, what your elders to know about youth your age?
Then not all of us have forgotten the elders. From me personally, I look up to my elders because I think that they are very knowledgeable, and I believe that they are the backbone of our people, and especially the women. And, I just want them to know that not every youth is worried about themselves for today. They're, just from me speaking on my behalf, can't really speak for anyone else, but I haven't forgotten my elders, and I always want to keep them close to me because without them, we wouldn't really know what our traditions are today. We wouldn't really know what our ways were. And for me, learning that and talking with you today, I will take that in and I will pass it on. And that's kind of why I want to become a Native counselor, is so that I can always encourage kids to talk to, older people, and for them to want to get through life. I think that's what they need to know, and it's best.
Wow, it's really been great getting acquainted with you. It's been great.
What advice would you give to any kid my age?
What they do will make the difference in their life. If they want to get to this point, they're going to have to work along that point. If they do their best to do what's right, and the family is important. The family is very important.
Funding for this program has been made possible through a grant from the Legacy, Art, Culture, and Heritage Fund of Minnesota.